And I'd like to thank everyone again who's helped us open the meeting by reading, and take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Welcome to any visitors to our meeting this evening, and a massive welcome to any newcomers. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So, like I said, we are a speaker meeting, and it falls to me to introduce our speaker this evening. I don't know much about this lady other than the fact I've attended her group online once or twice in recent months, and I've had the opportunity and privilege to share at their meeting once or twice. I really like this, what she has to say, and I think we've probably got very similar kind of thinking about this program and what it means to us. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Kathy, who's going to share her experience, strength and hope with us, a journey to, into and through Narcotics Anonymous for the next 40 or 45 minutes, whatever she's comfortable with. She's been around a little while. She may or may not decide to share that. That's up to her. But Kathy, please share with us. The floor is yours. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Hello, everyone. I'm Kathy, and I'm a recovering addict.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Welcome to the meeting.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's funny, Steve said I had a little bit of time. Well, I don't really have a lot of time. I'm really still new. My clean date is October 30th, 2019. So I'm coming up on 2 years. But I feel like a lot has changed in those 2 years. And that's only by the grace of God. And this program and the willingness to surrender, that's been the key, I think, is to let go of my will, you know, and try a new way of life and stop fighting all the time, trying to do it all on my own, and finally just giving up, not giving up hope, because I didn't have any hope. You know, it's kind of like a story says, came to the end of the road, the gift of desperation, you know. But I'm coming up on 2 years clean, and I have a sponsor. I just finished the fifth step, and I have a home group. All the things they told me to do when I came to the end of the road, which was really a literal story. I'm, you know, as you can tell by my voice, I am from the U.S., and I live on the eastern shore of Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia. We call it Delmarva. Beautiful place. We call it God's country also. But it's a peninsula. It's surrounded by water. Have you ever heard of the historical Chincoteague ponies that were supposedly shipwrecked? We have a pony swim every year in Virginia, which is only like 30 miles down the road. It's not very big peninsula, but so just give you a little background of my location, and we kind of a rural area, little city in the middle called Salisbury, and then we have Ocean City on the beach, is kind of like a little summer resort town. It's not little anymore, but so you know, it's that's where I grew up, where was I going with that part? But, you know, that's kind of a little bit where I'm from. And I did want to tell you, I had a really nice oyster sandwich. We call them oyster fritter sandwiches. That's one of the delicacies. We have seafood here a lot. And we have a lot of fried chicken because we have a lot of chicken farms. But that's kind of my background. But I did enjoy that oyster fritter sandwich today that I got. And, it's a little bit where I'm from, and, you know, I literally did hit the end of the road because, I was going out to cop, my drug of choice. And so I had drank alcohol a day, called out sick from work, and, had passed out. And, I woke up to check my phone, and somebody said, "It's sitting here waiting for you," which was a good friend of mine. And so, of course, I jumped in my car and went off to, you know, do that, get it. and ran a stop sign, passed out, I guess, and ended up in the woods, actually, end of the road. And we came to a, you had to turn left or right. Well, I just kept on going, and right into the woods I went. And thus started the real, I couldn't deny it anymore, kind of deal. It was up front and in jail all night, and on suicide watch, handcuffed, never been in jail before. I held a job over 35 years as a nurse and owned my own house. But slowly over the years, I was just wasn't happy and had a void, I think, like all of us. That's why we're here, that's why you're here. And my it, for me, because you guys understand exactly where I was, where I got myself, same place that you went. Maybe not the same circumstances, but you felt the same way. Maybe not to desperation, and maybe you haven't gotten there yet if you're maybe in and out of the rooms. But I know I speak from my heart, and I feel at home in these rooms, because only one addict can understand another addict and really relate, kind of like almost like a person who's been to war. No one understands that feeling, and what happens and what you experience down in your soul. But I wanted to deny it. I stayed in jail. I couldn't call my work, no one. I mean, I had one phone call, it didn't go through. I called my sister, and she was changing her phone from a landline to just cellular, and so it was all screwed up. So luckily, I got out the next morning, and my using buddy picked me up. And of course, that's the first thing I did, was get another one and think, yeah, well, I'll just, bullshit my way all the way through this. And but I couldn't really lie to myself anymore, and I knew that I was enslaved. A slave. Like, it's like it was fun for a while. It was like as I wanted to use drink or get high as a relaxation, as a reason to celebrate. And it got to the point where I found one drug that was it. That was no more my choice. It was the drug's choice. No more did I have a say in it. It was, not just the afternoon after work or the weekends. It was soon as I can get something or make sure I have enough, to go to work or get halfway through the work and maybe do some, it was a downward spiral, and the rabbit hole, had me totally. And if I couldn't get my drug of choice, then I started drinking hard liquor as much as I could. And for me, with my responsibility as a nurse, the guilt and the shame. How it was really easy for me for a while to like deny that I'm functional, I'm doing okay, nobody knows. And I don't know how I got through all that with my job, man. I work as a recovery room nurse, which I had tons of drugs available, but for a while I was just on my own, separate from work. I went to work clean, far as not having any that day, to where it was becoming day and night, every day of the week, and the downward spiral. And it became to where I started to steal drugs from work, and didn't want to really admit I was totally out of control. Being a nurse, knowing that I got a problem, and all along becoming more and more isolated, and not having friends, feeling very alone. Looking at people at work, wondering how do they do that? What kind of world do they live in? And I, it's like I'm crying out for help all along, but I don't do it. I don't know how, or I just can't bring myself to do it. I was researching recovery places online, trying to figure out which one I should go to, because I knew I was out of control. I had no control. The drug controlled me. It told me when to get up and get another one. Even when I didn't, I was like just getting over, I was still shaking or totally physically unable I made it. I got myself up and drove to where I had to go to get it. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. And it's just that, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. There was nothing else in life to do but that. That was my main function in life. And getting in the accident and being in the sheriff's department jail all night. Well, that of course alerted the family. I have siblings and my parents are deceased, but so everyone, my brother, sister, and my cousin who lived nearby was the one who went looking for me that morning and couldn't find me. And I finally, when I got out, I called my sister and told her what happened. And they said, "Well, we're coming up. We're coming, and we're going to talk about what's going on." So it was like, a spontaneous intervention kind of thing. And of course, they said, "You really should go somewhere." And I'm like, "Look, just I was dead against it. I thought, oh, here I go again. I can do it." Because I'm the one in control of my life, nobody else. And all along, honestly, I was so, I can't even describe it, tortured inside and just hopeless, hopeless. Just, it was just, it's a terrible place to be, a dark place to be. And, I didn't even want to try to go to recovery, somewhere, a rehab, whatever. I really wanted to die is what I wanted to do. And after a couple days of not having a car, I had a motorcycle. So what do I do the next day? I get on my motorcycle and go to my friend's house and get more, but I know, what am I going to do? Am I going to keep doing this? And I really physically couldn't ride the bike, but I did it. Because hey, that's what I had to do. And but my cousin, told me, she said, "Look, I'll look after your house. You can come stay with me." God provided the way for me to accept that I should do something. This is my opportunity to give it a try if I'm gonna, if I'm gonna live or still. To me, it wasn't living, it was just existing. It was like almost like the Walking Dead kind of thing, because I felt so dead inside. And I knew I was going to go through withdrawals. I was beginning withdrawals already, and I tried it before, because here I go again, me, I can do this. I had a week's vacation, so what do? I lay in bed all week, throwing up, sweating. I'm going to bust this out. I got this. And after 3 days, I used again. So, it's just, I knew I couldn't do, I real I took, I guess I accepted, that's a principle. That's one of those principles. Thank God for principles. And the honesty hadn't kicked in yet, but I said, I can't recover and I can't, detox on my own. So, my friend who was my using buddy who supplied me had been in rehab already, and she told me about this place, and I couldn't get in. And so I was supposed to go to this other place, and my sister was helping me, and she drove up bright and early the next morning. We went to check in, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any beds." And I'm like, "Oh God, help me," And I had some other pills that I could take to relax me, to help me, just hang on until I could get somewhere where I could get medically detoxed, I was hoping anyhow, because that, I mean, who wants to go through detox? Holy cow. So when we got back home, it was like, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock. And by 2 o'clock, the other place called and said, "We got a bed." And I'm like, thank God, and I'm like just in a fog. I pretty much had given up. As far as wanting to fight going anywhere or doing anything, I knew I had to get help. And so I did rehab, and it was the best thing for me. My God, they had both programs there, and I knew I did both drink and drugs. And I have to say, this, it just popped in my head, it's like we were really committing suicide, like it says in our reading, and we harmed others, our wives, our husbands, our children. Listen to me. Most of all, we hurt ourselves. We harmed ourselves. I had no clue. I mean, I was killing myself. I could see the changes in my body. I mean, I used to play sports. I was in the military and physically fit. And, you know, I'm now 63, but, you know, I was like, I'm not that old yet. I shouldn't be, you know, deteriorating, or my legs are swelling like little balloons because my circulation sucks because of what I'm taking. But, you know, I got it. You know, I got to say, I was looking for something to fill that void. And I always looked for it, I think, in another person to be all, you know, for me, the end all. That was like all I needed was someone else, like the movie Tom Cruise's You Complete Me kind of deal. And, you know, I thought once I had relationships all along, even the long-term relationships, but I was like maybe codependent on the person, I guess. And when I got out of a relationship, and I think that's when my downward spiral came, after like 10 years, I was like 50 years old, and the next 10 years were like just down, 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 use more, use more, use more. And what I've learned, and thank God, realized is that, you know, as we say, work the steps, work it because you're worth it. I didn't have any self-worth, self-love, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for that peace and serenity, you know, how much I harm myself, how much we harm ourselves. And like we say in the meetings, you know, we're going to love you until you learn to love yourself, because yeah, I agree. I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't realize that I was really trying to grasp for things, people, places, things for my happiness, for my peace. I didn't have any peace. I mean, like I said, I felt like I was dead. But now, listen to me. Learn to listen and listen to learn. That's another saying. And that's something that stuck with me in the beginning in my new meetings. It's like, man, reading the steps, I've learned to appreciate this gift of life, which is me, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. You know, I can get real excited about talking about that. And this is because that's why what I stay focused on, to keep my sanity. You know, our lives did become unmanageable. And it was insane. Things we did, I did, let me keep it on me, but thank God when I was in recovery, I got just a glimpse, a thought, a feeling of hope when I realized, because I thought I'd never be able to stop using. I was there for a week, and I realized I have not willingly put a drug in my body to make myself feel better or not feel the pain of the world of life. I've been, you know, detoxing, headaches, terrible, had no energy, but boy, they fed us good there. I'll tell you, it was the greatest meals in the world. But you know, it was really weird. One morning I was trying to eat my cereal and I had tremors so bad. The Cheerios were coming off my spoon, but you know what? That was okay. I got a shot of hope. It's like when you're in a dark room and you crack the door and it fills the room. It really did. It was only a crack, but it filled my heart and my spirit. And that's when I said, God, I need you. I've had some experience in the past with religion, but I believed in a God, because when I look out the door and I see a sunset, I see the ocean, I see flowers, all the creations, all the natural creations of life here on earth, there's no denying. And being a medical person, seeing the human body and how it's made up and the cells, Even I worked in the army as a operating room technician, and you go inside the body and do those surgeries. It gives me goosebumps right now to talk about it. And so I knew there was a God. I knew there was something universally that created this world. These things couldn't come just naturally, or they came naturally, but it's because of something else. So I choose to believe in a higher power, God, and I knew there was one. So right away, when I got that glimpse of hope, I said, please help me, God. I know I can do it with you. I can't do it, but with your help, I can. And so that's where I had to stay, and I try to stay. And getting out, let me just tell you what God did for me. I used a lot because I had a lot of anxiety plus stress at work and past sexual abuse, traumatic childhood. My father, he was a great guy. He would work Monday through Friday, but come Friday, it was Jekyll and Hyde. And he beat my mother. And I mean, he hit me a few times, but it was the psychological damage. So, there's a lot of baggage that goes along with each of us that I'm sure you can relate to. And, it's like it says, we didn't get addicted in one day, so easy does it, man. And that's what I try to tell myself every day, too. It's like, my sister is a recovering alcoholic, I think, because of our traumatic childhood. And she's got some 37 years clean. And she didn't recognize, though, what was happening with me, but she was there for me. She's the one that took me to the recovery house. And she's the one that told me one thing at a time. Because what is it like when you're recovering and you're not using, you don't want to use, but that's what you did for years and years and years. So it's an ingrained, it's an automatic response. And that's why we have to retrain our brains, retrain our mind, our heart, our soul. Oh my God, my thoughts can go 100 miles an hour, and I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate, especially when you first get clean. It's like, which way do I turn? What do I do? How do I do this? Oh my God. So it's like they taught us some meditation, and thank God it mentions that in our basic text too, through one of the steps. And I knew I needed something to help calm me. I mean, because of detox is one thing, but anxiety is another, and very strong with me. And I even tried to drink coffee when I got out, because in detox they don't give you any real caffeine. It's like I drank one cup of coffee and I thought I was having a nervous breakdown, and so I had to like limit that, and of course I had follow up and whatnot. But she told me one thing at a time, put everything else aside. So I had to make, what's my priority? Okay, I get out, I talk, my boss, we're all in touch, and they say, we want you, they're supporting me totally, because I never talked about the drugs. I just said I had too much to drink, I ran a stop sign, that was it, kind of make, soften it over. And I need to take some time off. I'm stressed. So, I go to detox, I come home, and I stay with my cousin. Man, that first day I walked in my door, it was like the walls were closing in. And thank God she was coming over to pick me up. I couldn't even stay inside the house. Crazy. But so I stay with her. My job gets, notice that I'm back, and I'm saying I'm going to at least take a couple of weeks. I don't know how long I need, but I got to do some things. I got to take care of, me first. Just a little, bit me, but I knew I had responsibilities, because that's the way I've always had been. That's how I was kind of taught. You be responsible, you get a job, you pay your bills, and you do the right thing and treat people the way you want to be treated. So I had a good basis of principles in that respect. So I'm like, I got to do this, I got to do that, but I'm like, okay. I was going to try to go back to work. Ha ha ha. Laugh at myself, because I'm going to go right back to where the drugs are. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, I can handle this. No, mm-mm. I went back to work after a month, thinking, I could maybe get back to work. I could start paying down all the credit that I had ruined in my, because I had great credit, but I was making withdrawals to buy drugs. And so I ran up, thousand, $50,000, $100,000 worth of, advances. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can do bankruptcy and, still keep my house, trying to rationalize and figure it out all on my own. And being so anxious, I w went back to work, and it was the second, I think I don't think I even made it through the first day without taking drugs from work to relax myself, to calm myself. It wasn't like it was an overload, like a relapse. It was like I needed to calm down. And but I knew, I'm starting over again. Am I going to continue staying clean, or am I going to keep going to work and keep doing drugs? And did that for a couple days, just one or two pills, not like going. But then that next weekend, I hit a cop, and I got for the whole weekend. And that next week, I was out till Wednesday, and I went back Thursday, and I said, I'm resigning. I can't do this. And it blew my supervisor away, because they had been so supportive. And I just had to be honest. I could not do it. I could not be there. The stress, the drugs, and many other things. But I finally just surrendered to that, to knowing that I had to set boundaries. It wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. I could not do it. I had to admit to myself that I could not do that. And therefore, I had to say, well, I got to give up my house. I got to do the bankruptcy and just start all over. Just all I really wanted, honestly, and that's the big principle of honesty, is just I didn't want to have to lie. I didn't want to have to be stronger than I really was. I had to admit that this is all I can do is just make it day to day without taking something. I have to learn who I am and learn how to do it through NA, through what they've taught me. This is my blueprint, and I got to find my support, which number one is God. And I wanted to try to trust people, but I knew that people, even in NA, are people with defects, just like me. And I'm not perfect. I'll tell you right now, negative. I am not perfect. I'm getting to that next step, six. But I just kind of focused on, I got a hope shot there at the rehab, and that I could have life without lying, using drugs, and being all alone, all the time, and just not having any happiness at all. And I come to believe in a power greater than myself after admitting that I was powerless. And and there they are, the steps, just like they go in order. Give us what we need, tell us what's going on, and what the steps do. I journaled. That was suggested, to journal, because what I'm doing is I'm learning about myself again. I'm trying to figure out who I am and what's happened to me. Who is the real Kathy? Without having to work, doing what I think society feels I'm responsible for. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad that I was productive for many years. I served my country, and that to me, no one can ever take away. Because ultimately, I feel in my soul, and I think we all are good people. Down in our souls, we are good, good people. It's just the negative stuff comes in, or we experience things that hurt us so deeply, and we develop those resentments, fear. Boy, but I flip it, and that's the only thing that's kept me going, is I'm not going to focus on that fear or that anger. I'm going to deal with it. And I'm going to find the peace instead of the anger. But just one day at a time, one issue at a time. What's really pressing on my spirit, you know, because my spirit is also, to me, my mind is what's going around and around and around in my head that I can't stop thinking about. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to ask myself, what am I feeling? What emotion am I feeling? And what can I do about it? What's my alternative action? And if I can't do anything about it, then I have to table it. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go to a meeting. You know, it's just been amazing. But let me tell you what, let me get to what I feel God. I just ask God, okay, I have no job now. And I've got this house. And I don't want the house. I just want somewhere that I can have shelter and have food. And I just want to learn about me. I can't take all the distractions of the world. I know it will drive me back. So I limited my surroundings to basically just what I needed for the day. I went to outpatient rehab and did group therapy. Talked about how I felt. I mean, everybody else was in the same boat. I mean, some people had to go because they had, you know, DUIs or parole board said they had to go, you know, drug court. And like I said, anywhere in a recovery program, everybody's there for a different reason. Maybe you haven't gotten there yet. Maybe, you know, I don't believe that when you get to a drug program or a rehab, group therapy, that it wasn't just a one-time occurrence. There's, you know, it's doing the same things with and expecting different results. No, it something's wrong. You know, we still haven't admitted it to ourselves. But I was so happy to have help, and get help, and because I surrendered. I said, I can't do this. I need help. I'm going to the group therapy, and I am going every day, twice a day, to a meeting. That's when we were still having in-person meetings, and it was something I'd never done. I'd never been to NA meetings before, and I was trying to figure out if I want to go to AA or NA. You know, I went to both. I like checked them out, and I said, no, I feel very much more at home in NA, and so. I felt so much more at peace when I just focused on doing the right thing. And the next thing was I had to sell my house, hopefully, you know, pocket a few $1,000 so I could start to get a place on my own. I was living with my cousin, and thank God for that. See, that to me, that was God, having someone in my family that would support me. I mean, not just financially with a place and a place to stay, but, with love. And, you know, she to me is like an NA sister, and she has nothing to do with NA, but she has been there as a support person. And I always called her my guardian angel. And, you know, we had fallen out of our relationship long ago, but it's brought us closer. But she supported me, took care of me, and gave me guidance, because she's done well for herself, and she's very level-headed, and she helped me get a car. She fronted me the money. I still didn't get reimbursed for my car when I totaled it. That was like craziest headache in the world. It took like 2 months because there was a problem with the VIN number on the title. So always make sure your VIN number is right. But you know, she helped me get a car, and I was so stressed about that because I had to go to court. And look what God did. I feel God helped me get a PBJ, no DUI. Great lawyer. My brother paid for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Got a car. I told my neighbor over the phone, I said, you're going to see a for sale sign up in front of my house. Just want to let you know. And she calls me back 2 hours later and said, I got a buyer for you. He'll pay cash. As is. I closed in 2 months. 2 months. God is good. I don't ask for God any more than what I need. And I think it would still be okay if all that didn't happen. So in place, maybe when I needed it, I think I might have been a little more hysterical or panicky, but I knew I was taken care of. I'm okay. It's okay. It was okay. But there's the stress of me saying, I gotta leave you, my cousin, I gotta leave you, I'm staying too long. I don't want to impose on your privacy and worry, worry, worry. Maybe some of you know about that. Worry about things that I can't control. Wow, have I learned a little bit about that? Thank you, Serenity Prayer. Man, grant me the serenity to accept, number one, accept the things I can't change and the courage to change the things I can. So I had a responsibility and all that. I had to pack up my house. And it was hell going through my house. And I don't know if you hear me. I hesitate sometimes because I still want to cuss, but I don't cuss like I did. I respect myself a little more, and I respect those that I speak to, because to me it is offensive. It's like I said, I was taught, the principles of right and wrong. Because I might do that around my friends when I was partying, but I never do that around my grandmom or my granddad or my mom and dad, because I knew I'd get my face slapped. But today, being clean and learning to love myself and honoring myself, my body, physically, with self-care as well, man, that's a big one too with me. I got into that really big, and I didn't just to get into it, I experienced it. I got up early. I always slept in. I always wanted to sleep, sleep, sleep. But now I get up early. I greet the day. It took me about 6 months to get to the point where I was happy to wake up and see the sun, because my first 6 months of being out of, rehab and giving up my job, my house, I was living with my cousin. I hated to see the sun come up because I knew I had to get up and face it. I had to do something. I had to go to group therapy. I had to go to recovery. It wasn't all like, rainbows and pink clouds. It came in spurts. And the more though I focus on what I needed to do, even when I didn't feel like it, I just said, I gotta try. I gotta do my best. And that's all we gotta do, brothers, sisters. And you know what? My best today isn't gonna be about my best tomorrow. Some days I feel like I'm not going to do anything that I don't really have to do, because sometimes I feel like my depression comes. I'll be honest, I take medicine for depression. I am monitored. I don't take drugs, I take medication. But still, days come when you don't feel it. Are you going to have situations? I have situations. I pretty much watch what I involve myself in. I think before I say, oh yeah, I'll go there, I'll do that for you. This today was hard. It's really different being on blue jeans. And sometimes I like being able to see people's faces and feel like I'm getting some feedback. But this is cool. This is good. This has been my challenge for today, doing something that I'm not real comfortable with. But I meditated before I got on. And I'm going to tell you, I took some Motrin because I was feeling really jumpy. My neck's sore. I have vertebrae problems. But anyhow, I meditated and I asked God, take my will and show me how to live today and say what I needed to say. And, I do now. I greet today. And I did all those things I needed to do. And I kept coming back. And I tried to focus on the people that I could see that hope in the meetings, or hear it like we do now. Wow, I was like, when the COVID came and I couldn't go to group, they were the first people to put the virtual meetings on. We had group meetings virtually. And then finally I found the NA virtual site. Thank God. I needed it bad. I think I would have used if I didn't get to a group and talk to people and talk about how I was feeling, where I'm at. I love to check in. I love that about group. Learn to check in, man. Check in with everybody. Don't keep it to yourself. Just tell me how you're doing today. What you're doing today. What step are you on? What do you feel hopeful about today? What do you need to talk about today? Get it off your chest. Hey, they always say it, better out than in, right? Man, this has been unusual to talk just to a screen or to my window. I'm looking out the window and it's beautiful out today. So here I am, you know, went through the virtual and I'm making it. I'm making it. I lost 60 days when I went back to work and relapsed. But I was at the end of the road, the desperation, the tired of being sick and tired, just almost too tired to go get more. And man, it's been a journey. And I had jotted a couple of things down, and the main areas that I want to just kind of recap before I close up is, you know, I got hope, but I couldn't keep that hope if I didn't have faith, not just in myself, but in something greater than me to show me the way, to help me be positive and keep giving me that hope. And that was God and you, the rooms, the program, the recovery group therapy. You know, it's like I look for people who were wanting the same thing that I wanted. You know, I didn't want the house anymore. I didn't want the job. I just wanted a little peace of mind, a little hope, to feel like I was alive, living, like it says in the Just for Today, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Man, those words struck me one night after I got out of meeting. You know how you hear these readings and in the beginning, you know, that they become like ingrained and certain things stand out. And for some reason, when I got back in my car in that parking lot, those words kind of came through my head. And it wasn't just words. It was like an experience. I am living and enjoying life. Man, it had been so long. I don't think I ever really lived it like I live it now. And it's amazing, amazing. It's like they say, you know, more to be revealed. Don't leave before the miracle happens. But it, to me also, it's awareness, you know, becoming awareness, asking myself questions, self-examination. That's what the steps come in, you know, answering those questions, being honest when I answer those questions. Don't hold back. Don't try to hold on to a little something and not, you know, be honest about it all. Or don't say, well, I just, again, don't fight it. I don't fight with people. I don't fight with attitudes. I don't fight with where someone's at. I let them be. I don't give them power over me, because that's what I do if I want to compare and contrast, or I want to, you know, take their life and hold it under a microscope now. You know, and even people I've gotten to know in recovery who even ask me, and I'm not even 2 years in, you know, to be their sponsor. I'm like, I don't know, you know, I'll support you. But I'm learning, and I think about it because I want to be a sponsor. Actually, I had one girl who said wanted me to be her temporary, and I don't believe in temporary. I mean, you need a sponsor. That's who it is right then. And but the thing is, in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be responsible for their life. Well, I ask myself, well, am I really responsible? Is my sponsor responsible for my recovery? Heck no. Only I am responsible for my recovery. I am, and God, let me just say that, you know, I can only get recovery because I choose to do the next right thing, to be a little kinder, to be more like my higher power, loving, kind, caring. And when I have received and experienced this self-love now, that I am worth living, a person worth living, to be taken care of, to take care of myself, number one, and that's self-love. To exercise, to eat right, to go to the doctor and take care of myself, and, you know, nurture my recovery, live in a place that's clean and healthy, to do what's best for me. That's my awareness of just loving myself, and nobody's responsible for my recovery except me. And so I can try to help someone. And when I experience, and what I wanted to say was, when I experienced this new knowledge and awareness and like awakening of living and being full of life, I want to give it away. I'd like to be able to wrap this up and give it to everybody every day in each room, on the street, in the grocery store. It's like, man, why do you complain, you know, or arguing about this? Take a breath, man. You got air to breathe. Right on. You know, the simple things that we take for granted every day, that I, you know, and talking about being a medical person, that I can stand up and hold up. Well, I'm about maybe 130 pounds now, which is what, about 60 kilos for you guys. That I can hold this body frame up every day and walk, run, exercise. You know, otherwise, without the muscle tone, the structure, it's a pile of glob. You know, it's just, I guess I get excited over the simple things, which, again, that's where I try to keep my focus, because I can get distracted by my defects, other people's defects. But I just try to love on you a little more, and just keep my mouth shut. That doesn't concern me, you know. And if I can help improve a situation, I will. But as we learn and grow and work the steps, and if we ask ourselves these questions through the principles, working the steps, taking a little self-examination, I've gotten to almost the point that now I want to ask my family, is there anything that, you know, you've seen in me? Because, see, I don't see it sometimes. I'm not even conscious of it. I want to ask them, tell me if there's something I can improve on, or if I've done something or said something to you. I mean, I know in the steps I'll make my amends, but if they see a behavior or a defect, I guess that's what I'm saying, how I want to improve. But right now it's one thing, one day at a time. I've included, you know, my groups. I'm chairing on Zoom, and now, just this week, I've had three individual people ask me to speak, and I'm like, okay. And I can't believe I've talked already. Time's up probably. I think I got a minute or two, and I'll wrap up. But, you know, just slowly, you know, but just make what, just stay a while, guys. Just hang in there, and man, I love you. This is a great life, and, you know, God be with you, and ask for help. Keep coming back. Take a look at yourself, but just take a deep breath today and enjoy that air. All right, Steve, that's all I got. Thank you for letting me share. God bless you.